So let me review a little bit of our mythology so we can understand how it influences our worldview and how diametrically different the mythologies of the Earth peoples are. Because mythologies of the Earth peoples are mythologies of the feminine, not of the masculine. They're not objective, they're subjective. They don't create separation. They are participatory, they're interactive. They do not diagnose, they heal. I was amazed one time going through a medical text and seeing how many different ways there were of being sick. Amazing how many ways there are of being ill. And if you discover a new way of being ill, you can actually put your name on it. Crohn's, Alzheimer's, you go down in history. If you think about it, there are really only one or two ways of being healthy, and nobody knows what those ways are. So that Western medicine is a magnificent science of diagnosis, but it's really not all that effective in terms of healing. We know 101 different ways that we can die. We can define it, we can describe it, but the fact that we can describe it, we can't fix it, we can't heal it. Shamanic medicine, energy medicine, on the other hand, does not diagnose. It heals. It does not describe. It intervenes. So that the shaman differentiates between information, which is the more masculine approach. This is information, which is knowing that water is H2O, and knowledge, which is the more feminine approach, which is being able to make it rain. We know that water is H2O, we know the formulas for just about everything, but we can't make it rain. And this is all founded in our mythology. Because the Western mythology is a, as I said earlier, is a very funky, very unique mythology. We have, for example, practically the only mythology in the world in which we were cast out of the garden. You know that nobody else was kicked out of the garden? The Aborigines weren't, the Sub-Saharan Africans weren't, the Native Americans weren't. They were given the garden to be the stewards and the caretakers of the garden. We're the only people who were kicked out of the garden. And as we're being cast out of the garden, there's a voice that comes and says, "And cursed is the earth because of you, and you, and you too, woman. Remember, you brought us the fruit of the tree of knowledge. It's your fault. Cursed is the earth because of you. And to the man, the voice says, and with the sweat of your back, you will take your fruit from the earth, and the earth shall grow thorns and thistles for you." The voice didn't say, "And the earth shall grow mangoes and strawberries for you, or papayas." And no, thorns and thistles. So most of us spend the entire week dealing with the thorns and the thistles. And we come out at the end of the week bruised and scratched with a couple of thorn roots and thistle brush. So right at page 2 of our mythology, we're banished from the garden. We have an antagonistic relationship with the feminine, curses the earth because of you, and also with the mother, with the earth, that will grow thorns and thistles for us. With the sweat of our back, we will take our food from the earth. Right from the start. Now, I'm not making this up. This is page 2. Check this out next time you stay at a motel. Right at the beginning of our mythology. Also, in page 1, which I forgot to mention, is we have the only mythology in which the masculine gives birth to the feminine. Remember that part? Part about the rib? In no other mythology in the planet does the masculine give birth to anything. So we have already a predisposition in our mythology, an orientation to, and a bias towards the masculine. We are cast out of the garden, and the rivers and the trees and God no longer speaks to us. When the Spanish arrived in the Americas, the conquistadors, the priests, brought the Bible with them, and in one instance they approached the leader of the Inca people, the ruler, and they handed him the Bible, and the priest said, "This is the word of God." And the Inca brought the holy book to his ear. And he threw it down on the ground, and he said, "What kind of God is this that does not speak?" That was a big mistake, of course, because next they proceeded to tie him to four horses and quarter him for desecrating the holy book. So what kind of God is this that no longer speaks? We've lived with a mute God for a couple of thousand years at least.